Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Metzia Daf Mem Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah at the top of Daf Mem Gimel. Before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side in the margin where we have our nosei, topic heading, / mivne, structural note, which reads, mois tsurin mutarin, money, cash, that's either tied up in a pouch or entrusted in an open pouch, mutarin, open, shehufkadu etzel. The monies were entrusted by one of three different possibilities. Shulchani, a money changer. A balabayas, a homeowner, private person. Chenvoni, a store owner. The Mishnah. Hamafkid mois etzel shulchani. Person entrusted money for watching purposes by a money changer. Im tsurin, if you entrusted them in a closed or tied up pouch. Lo yishtamesh bohen. The money changer, though that's his business of using cash, changing currency, changing denominations, but if the money you entrusted was in a tied up pouch, he is not to use those monies. Lefikach im avdu eino chayav machrusan. Therefore, since he's not entitled to use it, his level of watching, of shmira, of guarding, is to the tune of what would appear as a shomer chinam. He's an unpaid bailey, and therefore if they get lost, he's not chayav, he's not obligated to make restitution. He's not chayav in bachriyusan. Mutarin, however, if the monies were entrusted to him in an open pouch, in other words, they're not tied, yishtamish bohen, he is entitled to use them, lefikach im avdu, if they get lost, chayav bachriyusan, as one who is entitled to use the money, he would then have the status of a shoel, of a borrower, and therefore, if they get lost, he has to make good on the money that was entrusted to him. Eitzel bal habayis, monies entrusted to a private person, bein tsurin, bein mutarin, whether in a tied pouch or in an untied pouch, lo yishtamish bohen, he is not to use it. Giving it to a private person is not the same as giving it to a money changer. Giving to a money changer a pouch of an open pouch of cash is tantamount to inviting him to use it, being that that's his profession. But giving it to a private person, the state of the pouch is irrelevant. He's not to use it. Lefikach im avdu eino chayav b'rachusin. Therefore, if they get lost, he does not have to make restitution. Chenvoni, a store owner, a grocery owner, kibal habayis, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir categorizes the chenvoni with the standard we apply to the bal habayis. In other words, it's expected he's not going to use the money you entrusted him. Therefore, even if you entrusted it in an open pouch, if the money gets lost, he would not have to make good on it because he doesn't have any rights to using it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chenvoni keshulchani. Rabbi Yehuda says that the standard we apply to a chenvoni is like that of a shulchani, as we explained earlier. The Gemara asks, Mishum tetsurin lo yishtamish bohen. When you entrusted the cash to a shulchani, just because they were tied up, he is not to use it? Now, in order to appreciate this question of the Gemara, we look together at Rashi on the second line from the top. Mishum detzurin lo yishtamish bohen bitmiha. you say you we read that in a tone of wonderment. Uma gilui das yesh kan? What evidence? What exposure of mindset, literally, is there over here? What? How are you revealing your mindset? She'ein chofetz shishtamish b'hem, that you don't want him to use the monies. Me'achar she'im hein mutorin kwamis yishtamish b'hem. In contrast, you said that if the monies are untied, then he is entitled to use it. Tamafkir etzloi yodea shutzor todi lemois. One who entrusts money by a shulchani knows that he is in constant use of the money. It's important for him to have a source of cash to be available to the public that wants to change their currency or their denomination of money. Tsurin nami yishtamesh. Well, if it's a tied up pouch as well, he should be able to use it. The derech kol adam lo tsur moisov. It's the normal way to store money in tied pouches. In other words, the tying of the pouch is not an indication per se that you don't want him, the money changer, to use it. All monies are stored in tied pouches. So there's nothing unique to a pouch of cash being tied up that would be a clear demonstration of your unwillingness for him to use it. So the Gemara answers, Omar Vasi, Omar Yehuda, Bitsurin v'chasumin shanu. The Mishnah that spoke about tied up, it's not just that it's tied up and it's sealed. There's a chosim, a seal on the knot, if you will, indicating that this is not just a normal tying up, but it's a tying up for, we'll say, for storage purposes, not for your use. The cash is not for the Shulchani's use. Rav Mori Omar Bekesher Meshune. Rav Mori says that the knot that was used to tie up this pouch was an unusual kind of knot. So that, it doesn't fit into what Rashi described before, on the first narrow line of the Rashi, where he spoke in terms of derech kol olam lotzer, because here the kesher, the knot that was used to tie this particular pouch was an unusual kind of knot. Iko Tiamri, another version in presenting Rav Mori, is Boy Rav Yirmiyahu Kesher Mishune Mai. In this version, Rav Mori is asking what would be the din if it was tied up in an unusual knot. Would that be a sign to the Chenvoni, to the Shulchani, that is, to the money changer, not to use it? Teku. So according to this version, that remains unresolved. Mutarin yishtamesh bohen. If you entrusted an untied pouch of money, he is entitled to use it. Lefikoch im avdu chaya bachrisa. Therefore, if they are lost, he is obligated to repay. Now, we look at the side of the Gemara in the margin where we have a nosei / mivne heading. We feature a house marking. This is a machlokis, Rav Huna for Rav Nachman. You noticed in your Gemara text, Rav Huna, and a few lines later, Rav Nachman appears. Be'inyan mois mutaran shuhufkudu etzel shulchani, regarding monies that were entrusted in an untied fashion to a money changer. V'nensu mimenu lifnei shishtamish b'en, and the monies as a result of an oinus. Oinus is some type of circumstance, situation, condition that arose beyond his control that caused the loss of the money before he, the Shulchani, actually used the monies you entrusted to him. So an onus arises before he used the money. According to Rav Huna, even though he didn't use it yet, he still has the status of one who borrows something. One who borrows something, in general, is chayav even in cases of oines. Rav Nachman poter, according to Rav Nachman, he is exempt. He didn't use it yet, so he doesn't have the status of a borrower. Rather, he has the status of a paid bailey. And a paid bailey is not obligated to compensate when the loss is a result of oines. Now the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna addressing that which it said in the Mishnah, that im avdu chayav ve'afilu nensu, chayav to compensate, he's obligated to compensate, even if the loss is a result of oines. And here we're adding words that you don't see in the Gemara, but you see this in Rashi, and that is, even if he hasn't used it yet. The Gemara asks, how can Rav Huna say that that he's chayav even in a case of ones v'ha avdu katani? Avdu means lost, but not indicative necessarily of an ones. So how can Rav Huna increase the level of obligation of the shulchani to the level of a shoel, of a borrower, when the Mishnah doesn't speak in terms of those circumstances that a borrower is obligated to pay for? It said avdu. Avdu, the compensation in the case of aveda is characteristic of a shomer sochar, of a paid bailey. So the Gemara answers kida rabo, as rabo says in another location. We're going to adapt what he says to our Gemara. Diyama rabo nignivu balista mizuyan avdu shetavu svinosa beyam. The terms nignivu and avdu, which in their simplistic fashion refer to theft and loss, which are grounds for obligating a paid bailey, sometimes those terms go beyond simple theft and loss, but refer to losses as a result of something beyond your control. So nignivu would be through an armed robbery. That's something you have no control over. You're not expected to endanger your life to protect an entrusted item. That's an example of ones, though the term nignivu, gneva, was used. Avdu, which simplistically means loss, but in this case, in the Mishnah, we're going to say avdu is a reference to something like the drowning of a boat at sea, where that's true, that's a loss as well, but it's a loss that's beyond your control. Rav Nachman Omar Nansu Lo. Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav Huna and says that the untied monies entrusted to the Shulchan, if he hasn't used them yet, and an ones arises, the shulchani does not have to compensate. Omar le Rava le Rav Nachman l'didcha, according to you, the amris nensu lo, that he's not obligated to compensate for ones. Amo lo havi shoyel alayhu. Therefore, the shulchani is not categorized as a borrower. He shoyel lo havi, if he's not viewed as a borrower, simply because he hasn't used it yet, Shomer Socher Nami Lo Have, he shouldn't be viewed as a Shomer Socher either, which you claim he is. You're saying that his exemption is only in the case of Onus, something beyond his control, but Geneva and Aveda, a theft or a loss of the money, he would have to compensate for. That is characteristic of a paid bailey. So, Rava's question to Rav Nachman is where is he getting paid? If he used the money, then I understand he's considered a borrower of it. But if he hasn't used it yet, so why is he obligated for Geneva and Aveda? Why is he exempt only from Ones? He should be exempt from Geneva and Aveda as well, like an unpaid bailey, like a Shomer Chinam. Omar Lay. So Rav Nachman answers, Beho Modin Aloch, in this I concede to you, Dehoyo Venene Mahane, since he has pleasure from having these entrusted monies, though he hasn't used it yet, but he has pleasure, and we'll see in a minute what we mean by that. He is Mahane, he's willing to give the owner benefit by providing this upgraded level of obligation of shmira, of guarding, of watching. What's the pleasure that he gets? Bahu hano di misrami le zavina dis be revocha zovan bahu, through the hano that he has, that if a a good deal would arise. That's a zvina disbei revocha, a type of purchase that would provide profit for him. He has the comfort of knowing that he has cash available for that. So in exchange for that, Hava Alayhu Shomer Socher, he will provide the Shomer Socher level of watching, of guarding, for the benefit of the owner of the money. Esvei Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna. Take note, of course, of the names. Rav Nachman and Rav Huna were the shittas we just saw above in our house markings. Now Rav Nachman takes the offensive and asks a kasha on Rav Huna. We have a Tanaic source which describes a gizbar, the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash, that entrusted holy money, sanctified monies. Hamafkid Mois Eitzel Shulchani. The temple treasurer entrusted holy funds. When we speak about holy funds, bear in mind there's an Isur, there's a prohibition of personal gain from holy items. And one who causes the exiting from the status of holiness to the status of the mundane is in violation of what we call mi'ilah, misuse of holy funds. So a gizbar, the temple treasurer, entrusted monies by a shulchan in tsurin lo yishtamesh bohen. If he entrusted them while tied up, the shulchan is not to use them. Lefikach im hoitzi, if the shulchan does use them, lo mo'al hagizbar, the violation of mi'ilah is not violated by the gizbar. The gizbar did nothing wrong. So we can't say in a case like that the shulchani operated as an agent of the gizbar by spending the money. V'imutarin yishtamesh bohen, if the gizbar entrusted untied holy funds to the shulchani will use them, is expected to use them. We're not saying it's the right thing for him to do, but he is going to use them, as we explained earlier. Lefikach im hoitzi. Therefore, if the shulchani spends the monies, uses the monies, mo'al gizbar, the gizbar is said to be in violation of mi'ilah. In effect, the shulchani has operated as an agent, a shlichus of the gizbar. Ve'i amris afilu nansu. If you're going to say that the entrusting to the shulchani untied monies obligates the shulchani, even in the case of ones, from the time that you entrusted it to him, as Rav Huna said, by the mere entrusting of untied monies, the shulchani is considered like a borrower of it. So in this case, my ir yahotzi, why speak about the Isur Mi'ilah through the spending of the monies on the part of the shulchani? Afilu lo hotzinami, even if the shulchani didn't actually use the monies in transactions, the gizbar should be considered in violation of mi'ilah. In order to appreciate this just a little bit more, we look together at the Rashi. A few lines up, Rashi, V'amris afilu nansu, Tana masnisin dechayev shulchani bachriyuson. If you're going to say that the Tana of the Mishnah is mechayev, obligates the shulchani to, obligates him, even in the case of ones, and as we said before, even if he didn't actually use the money, nimsa mishal shifkidu etzlo, it turns out then that at the time that the gizbar entrusted the holy funds in an untied pouch to the gizbar, they left the domain of hekdish shulchani, and they enter the domain the domain of the money changer. And it's as if he loaned holy funds to the shulchani, and there's no exiting from the domain of Hegdish greater than that. So my ir yahotzi, why does the source we read speak about the shulchani spending the money even before the actual spending or transaction of the monies? There is an exiting from the domain of hekdesh. The Gemara continues. Rav Huna responds, Omar le hu hadin afagav de lo hotzi. As far as the source is concerned, the same would apply, mi'ilav, on the part of the gizbar, would apply even if the shulchani did not spend the money. The idi tona reisha hotzi, and since in the reisha where hotzi, the expenditure of the money was featured, and there we went so far as to say, if the monies were spent, the gizbar is not moyel. Tana seifa nami hotzi. The tana of the seifa that is in the Tanaic source taught the example of hotzi as well. Even though in the seifa it's not limited, the mi'ilah of the gizbar is not limited to the case of the shulchani spending the money. But even if even without the actual spending of the money, the mere fact that the shulchani entrusted holy funds in an untied pouch to the shulchani, that itself is considered, as we said, as Rashi said, as if you're loaning the money to him, and therefore the shulchan, the gizbar, the temple treasurer, is guilty of mi'ilah even at that early point, the mere entrusting of the untied pouch. The Mishnah. Hashaleach yad b'fikodoin. A bailey that was entrusted with an item uses the item. The shomer will have to compensate for circumstances of choser and circumstances of yeser. Now, the terms, we can give a literal translation to them, but without learning the Rashi, we won't really appreciate what they mean. So the literal translation, choser has to do with diminishing, depreciation, loss. Yeser has to do with increase. Now we look at Rashi. Yiloke b'choser v'yeser. Im choser domeo. If an item that was entrusted to the bailey, and he used it, and its value diminished, shehuzlo b'shuk. It became devalued because of market conditions, not because he ruined the item. Yishalem domel k'moshos shoveh b'shal shesholach bo yad. He, the bailey, must return the value of the item as it was at the point that it was entrusted to him. I should say at the point that he used the item. So that you'll have a situation where the bailey used the item and then it lost value because of market fluctuations. At the point that the bailey was sholach bo yad, is, as Rashi says, shishas hagzela, that is viewed as the time of theft. V'chein kol hagazlon mishamik shas hagzela, and that is the rule that applies to all thieves, that they have to pay, restore the item in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. Ukegoin shehotzia she'eno be'en. And here's a critical point that we didn't mention earlier. When we speak about the shomer using the item, he used it and it's not around anymore. It's not be'en. Avu'im yeshno be'en kemois shegazla. If the item itself is extant as it was at the point that it was used, was stolen. Oimer lo harei shocholofanecha. Kinamrin gabi madbea v'nifsal truma v'nitnes perak agoizel. The thief, the sholeach yad, the shomer that used it, is entitled to say, take your item back. And Rashi went on to give a few examples, as we learned in Bava Kamma. The next Rashi, ubiyeser, im shoaso biyodo misheshalach boyad. If the shomer, after using the item, it remained in his domain, and it became worth more. And after his use of it, we said it went up in value, and then he expended it. It Hutsia means literally went out of his domain. Loike b'yeser domel the shalim kshas haitza. The shomer must return cash equivalent of the item at the time, the value of the item at the time that it left his domain. And we point out again, it left his domain after he had used it. And after he had used it, we said it had gone up in value, market value, and then it went out of his domain. He pays the value at the point that it left his domain. We turn back to the Mishnah. Ubeis Hillel Omrim, as far as a Sholeach Boyad, he pays Kish'as Hoitza, the value of it, as Shas Hoitza. Now, what is Beis Hillel saying by that? Rashi points out, B'Gemorah Meforesh Ma'akami, the Gemara will explain what they mean by that. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kish'as HaTviyah. And Rabbi Kiva says the value is paid in accordance what it's worth at the time of the court summons. When Tovea means the owner is summoning the Bailey to court. These opinions need further explanation, as Rashi on the Mishnah points out. So we wait for the Gemara. On the side, in the margin, we have a topic heading which reads, Gozal Chovis Yayin, a person stole a barrel of wine. Meikora Shove Zuz. Initially, it was worth one Zuz, a denomination of currency. Vahashta Shove Dalid. Now it's worth four Zuz. The Gemara. Omar Rabba. Haiman de Gozal Chavito de Chamra. Mechavrei. One who stole a barrel of wine from his friend. Meikora shavio zuzah. At the point of theft, it was worth one zuz. Hashta shavio arba. Rashi has a girsa ulebesof shavio arba. Ulebesof, Rashi says, kishiyotsa min ha'olam, when it left this world, it was worth four. What happened? Tavra o shasya mishalem arba'a. If the thief broke the barrel or drank the wine, he pays four zuz. Ispar memela mishalem zuza. If it cracked, if the barrel cracked on its own without the thief having intervened, without his involvement in the breaking, and that's the reason for the loss of the wine, he pays one zuz. A new marking appears, a trapezoid or volcano shape. You can see in our margin under the Mivneh, my taimo is the phrase highlighted by this marking. These are hesberim l'shnei ha'nekudot sh'rabba. These are explanations of the 2 points that Rabba made. So with regard to the first point, the Gemara asks, my taima, why is the payment made in terms of four zuz? Kevon de iisa hadra lemora be'ena. Since if the barrel that was stolen would have been extant, it would have been returned as it is. Hahi shaita de kashasi le o de katovar la kagozal mine. At the point that he drank it or smashed it, that's the point of theft. That's called the point of no return. Utnan, and now just go over that last point. Physically speaking, so the guy stole it before he drank it. But from the point that he stole it until he actually drank it, the wine couldn't have been returned as is. So that we don't call that that initial period of time theft in, we'll say, in legal terms. What's the point of theft in this case? The point of theft is the point at which it can't be returned because of his action. He drank it, he smashed it. So that's when he did the theft. Utnan kol hagazlonim mishalmim kishas hagzela. And we have a Tanaic source that says that all theft pays in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. Isbar memeilo mishalim zuzah. However, if the barrel broke on its own, he pays one zuz. My time, why does he pay one zuz? Because hashto lo ovid lo velo midit. At the time that the barrel cracked, he didn't do anything. He was totally uninvolved. Amai kol mechayv esleh. So for what point in time are you going to hold him responsible? Ahi shaita the gozla. At the time that he initially removed it from the owner's domain. Here we use the term gozla. In the conventional sense, the time that he removed it from the owner's domain, well, he shaita zuza hu deshavya. At that time, it was worth one zuz. That was the shas hagzela, and we saw in the Tanaic source that kol hagazel misham shas hagzela. Tanan. We raise a question, and notice we have a long question marking. Beis Hillel Oimrim Kish'as Hoitzah. My Kish'as Hoitzah. What was meant by that phrase? Beis Hillel says that one who is Sholeach Yod B'Pikadon, he pays Kish'as Hoitzah. Here we have triangles that you can see are featured on the side under the Mivne heading. Shlavim, these are stages. Levar Pirush Horitoni B'ni Sholeach Yod B'Pikadon Beis Hillel Oimrim Kish'as Hoitzah. The stages in trying to understand what did he mean by that. So in lemo, we continue in our Gemara, if it means kishas haitza mina ilam, that he pays at the in accordance with the value that it ceased to be in this world, was literally taken out of this world, uvemai, and what are the circumstances? E b'chaser, if Beis Hillel is saying you're going to pay at the in accordance with the value that it left this world in a case where it diminished in value. Rashi, on the last narrow line of the Rashi commentary, Iba Choser Kishahuzla, that it went, it had diminished, depreciated. De Koamri Beis Shama Yeloki L'Shaim Kedom Shoisa B'Shas Hagzela. Where Beis Shammai had said, you're going to pay the value at the time of the theft. And in the case of the Mishnah, the Shas HaGzela was the Sholach Boyad, the point at which he used it. And we said that if it diminished in value after he used it, well, Beis Shammai said he's going to have to pay according to the higher value, the value at the time that he used it. The Koamri Beis Hillel Kishas Hoitzo, would Beis Hillel say that in that case he pays the value of the item when it went out of the world? Well, that can't be. The Gemara continues, Mi Iko Lamand Omar, would anyone hold like that? That where it went down in value, you would pay that lower rate, v'hotnan? We have taught, kol ha-gazlon and mishalim kishas ha-gzela. All thieves pay at the time of the theft. And as we said, that in the case of Sholeach Boyad, the time of the theft is at the time that he used it. And in our case, with regard to the stealing of the barrel of wine, you would not pay if it decreased in value, you wouldn't pay that lesser amount. V'i b'yeser, and if you're going to say that Beis Hillel in the Mishnah that said you pay in terms of shas hoitzah, in the case that it went up in value. In other words, where the shomer was sholach boyad, and it after he used it, it went up in value, and then it was lost from the world. And Beis Hillel says you pay according to that rate, the rate that it left the world. Well, hainu Beis Shammai. That's what Beis Shammai said when he said yeloka b'yeser, as we explained earlier. So what? And now, Beis Hillel isn't going to simply repeat that which Beis Shammai said. They're arguing. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Ela pshita, rather, it's obvious, kishas hoitzol mi Beis Bailim, that Beis Hillel's opinion is that you're going to pay in accordance with the value of the item that when it left the owner's domain. First, we look at Rashi at the top. Ela pshita kishas hoitzol mi Beis Bailim. Kishas hagzela. At the time of the theft. Ubiyeser pligi. And in a case where there was increase in value, there is an argument between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Dekarmi Beis Shammai im hukra, if it went up in value, yeloke l'shalem kishas hoitzol min ha'olam. You'll pay in accordance with the value that the item ceased to be in this world. Ubeis Hillel amri kishas hoitzol mi Beis Bailim. You pay in accordance with the value of the item when it left the owner's domain. We recommend looking at the commentary of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Let us do that together. From the top line of the Rabbeinu Chananel commentary, you see to the right of the Tosfos commentary, El Pshita Taima de Beis Hillel Kishas Hoitzol Beis Bailim Hu. Vehi Shas Hagzela. Beis Hillel spoke in terms of paying Kishas Hoitzol. That's the point at which it left the owner's domain. That's the time of Gezel. And at that time, in our case of the barrel of wine scenario, it was worth one zuz. And when he drank it, it was worth four zuz. In that case, you have their disagreement. Beis Shammai Savri, Dalid Mishalei. Beis Shammai holds he pays four, ki hashta, as its current value. Ubeis Hillel Savri, de Mishalei, kishas hagzela, hu zuza. And Beis Hillel will tell you, you pay one zuz, the value at the time of the actual theft from the domain of the owner. For hu zuza, it was one zuz. Now, if you say that the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is Beis Shammai holds in the case of yeser shas hoitzol min ha'olam, and Beis Hillel holds in the case of yeser kishas hoitzol mi Beis Bailim, the result will be that in the wine case, the wine barrel situation, Beis Hillel will be holding you pay one zuz. What did Rabba say? Is it not so that Rabba said you would pay, in the case of Tovro or Shosa, you pay the four zuz? So now the Gemara asks, Lema Rabba di Omar kebei Shammai. Should we say then that Rabba's ruling that in the case of increase in value, you pay its value when it left the world is a ruling that Beis Shammai holds, and we know that in halachic ruling, one would follow the opinion of Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. Omar loch Rabba. So Rabba responds: B'yeser kulei alma lo pligi. In the case of increase in value, everyone agrees with my point of view. Everyone would agree that you pay the higher value, the time of the value of the wine at the point of drinking or your smashing of the barrel. Kipligi, when does the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arise? Bechoser, where there was decrease in value. In the case of, let's say, Shlichus Yad, the case of the Mishnah where the Shomer used it, at the time that he used it, it was worth 4. When he was Moitzit Min Ha'olam, let's say, in the case of the theft of the barrel of wine, at the point that he drank it, it was worth 1. In a case like that, you'll have the Machlokes, Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai. We take a look at the Rashi together. Starting with the Rashi on the third line from the top, Ki pligi b'choser, v'ko'amri Beis Hillel, kish'as hoitzah min ha'olam. You will pay in accordance with the value that it left the world. Udekokashiloch, you might ask, how can they hold that? Do we not say kol hagazlonim mishalmim kishas hagzela? All thieves pay in accordance with at the time of theft. So ibegzela mamish the gazla meikara. If, in fact, you were talking about a case of an initial theft of the item, a case of a robber, hachinami, then you're right. You would pay the value not at the time it left the world, but at the time of the initial theft. Aval hacha, but in our case, in the machlokes beisham beis hillel, tibetera also liyodei, it came to his hands in a legal fashion. He was hired as a bailey. Umishum shlichus yad koma chayvis lei, and now we're holding him responsible for on the grounds of shlichus yad, of his having used it. Behal pligi. The following, we haven't yet seen this in the Gemara, the following will be their point of disagreement. So now, before we go further in the Gemara, Rabbah was dealing with a case of outright theft. And in a case of outright theft, Rabbah tells us that there would be no machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the way we would rule on it is like Rabbah said, that if it went up in value, namely at the time of the actual theft it was worth 1, and then later when he smashed it or drank it, it was worth 4, you're going to pay that higher value. If at the time it was stolen, it was worth more, and then it went down in value, you will pay the time of the actual theft. We turn back to the Gemara. We didn't point out, but we encountered our first diamond marking. On the side, in the margin, the diamond is featured, and we've written, Hatzoyes Sharabo, Rabo's suggestions, Vazbir Machlokes Beis Shammai uBeis Hillel Bamishnah. So we read in the Gemara, Ki pligi b'choser, the Machlokes will arise in the case of depreciation after the point that the Bailey is Sholach Bo Yad. There is depreciation that sets in, and then it eventually is Yotza Min Olam. It's diminished. It's physically diminished. Beis Shammai Savri, Shlichus Yad Eino Tzricha Chisoran. The prohibition of Shlichus Yad, upon which we say that the Shomer, once he is Sholeach Bo Yad, he is considered like a thief on the item, and hence he gains full responsibility, even to compensate in the case of Ones, that transformation of status from Bailey to, we'll call it, to thief, does not require that there be any loss in the physical content of the item entrusted. At the point he uses it, he then becomes fully responsible. V'chi choser, and any depreciation that sets in after he used it, b'shusei didei choser, it's a depreciation in his domain. In other words, the owner of the item doesn't have to suffer that loss. He doesn't have to experience it. And the shomer is therefore chayev to restore the item, the value of the item, as it was at the point he was shalach boyad, the point that he used it. Of course, just to review what we mentioned before, if the item is extant, so then he returns the item as it is. But we're talking about a case where eventually the entrusted item is no longer around. So if it's no longer around, at the value is established by the point that he started using it. Ubeis Hillel Savri, Beis Hillel disagrees. Shlichus Yad Tzricha Chisorin. In order to gain the status of, we'll say, thief regarding the entrusted item, it's not enough that you simply used it, but you also diminished its content. V'chi Choser Birshusa Demore Choser. And when its diminished value set in, it was in the domain of the original owner. If we accept this explanation, then we'll see in a moment that comments made by Rava will end up being like Beis Shammai. You'll notice we have a double underline marking, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, the Elaha expression is highlighted. These are kushyos, questions. Lefia hesper shenitan, according to the explanation that was given, yotze sherabo or rava amru kebeis shamai. So now let's turn back to the Gemara. Elaha diomar rava. That which rava says, shlichus yad eino tzricha chisaron. That in order for a Bailey to be obligated as a thief, the diminishing of the item is not a necessary element. Lema Rava Diomar Kebe Shammai. Should we say that Rava's teaching is in accordance with the position of Beis Shammai? After all, that's what Rabo said above, that in the case of Choser, Beis Shammai holds Shichus Yad, Eino Tzricha Chisaron. Ela, so we have to come up with a new explanation. Hocha b'may askinon, the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is in the following. Kegoin shetiltala lahavi olel goizolois, where the item that was entrusted was moved in order for it to serve as a, we'll call it a step ladder, for goizolos are young birds to hop onto the item, and once its height is the little bird is raised onto this item, it then would be able to hop from that into its bird coop. Ubeshoyel shalomi das komifligi, and the machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is regarding the issue of borrowing something without the expressed permission of the owner. Beis Shammai Savri, Beis Shammai is of the opinion, Shoyel Shalomidas Gazlon Have, the use of something, the borrowing of an item, is classified as a thief. V'chi Choser, and when there is depreciation, Birshusa Didei Choser, the depreciation is in the Bailey's domain, he absorbs that loss. The original owner doesn't have to accept the item returned at that lower. Of course, later on, the item is no longer around, so the value paid for it is the original value before he used it, before he borrowed it. Ubeis Hillel Savri, Shoyel Shalomidas, Shoyel Havei. One who borrows something without express permission of the owner is nevertheless called a shoel. The chichoser, and when the depreciation set in, birshusa demora choser, that depreciation was while the item is still considered owned by the original owner. So that when it eventually is no longer around, the loss is sustained by the original, the loss in value is sustained by the original owner. The borrower, the that is the Bailey who borrowed it, is not considered as having been a thief on the item. Once again, this explanation raises the following problem. Rava explains that one who borrows without the express permission of the owner, according to the Rabbonin, is a thief. Lema Rava diomar kebe shamai. Shall we say that according to Rava, the opinion of the Rabbonin is that of Beis Shamai? And we mentioned before that when it comes to halacha and final rulings, we don't follow the opinion of Beis Shamai when he's arguing with Beis Hillel. So to say that, to explain the machlokes Beis Shamai Beis Hillel on the basis of Shoyel Shalom Midas can't be the explanation of the machlokes in the Mishnah. Ela hocha b'shevach shel gzeila komifligi. The machlokes Beis Shamai and Beis Hillel surrounds is manifest in the case of Shevach Shel Gzela. The case of Shevach Shel Gzela, we'll see, has to do with a stolen item that experiences appreciation, increased value, as is the case of animals, let's say sheep, that are stolen and they grow wool. Animals that are stolen and they become pregnant after the theft. Beishamai Savri, Shevach Gezela Denigzal Havei. That improvement, that increase in value, is something the owner is entitled to benefit from. Ubeis Hillel Savri, Beis Hillel, who said, Kishas Hoitzo, the payment is made at the time of its removal from the house of the owner. That's the result of that is Shevach Gezela de Gazlan Havei. That improvement is something the thief is entitled to. Ubiplukto Dehani Tanoi. The Machlokis Beis Shamai and Beis Hillel parallels a later Machlokis Tanoim as follows. Desanyo Hagezel es Harochel. Gozaza v'yolda, person stole a sheep, and in the course of time he ended up shearing it and benefiting from its offspring that it gave birth. Mishalim oisa v'es gizeseha v'es v'lodesa divrei Rabbi Meir. The thief must return everything, lock, stock, and barrel, the sheep, the wool, and the lambs. Rebuta Omer Gzela Chayzeres Beinei. The stolen item is returned as it was. Deka Nami. By careful reading of our Mishnah, you can see that the Machlokes Beis Hillel Beis Shamai is concerns a topic like this. The Katoni, in the Mishnah it said, Beis Shamai Oimrim Yiloke B'choser U'B'yeser. It doesn't say in the Mishnah that the thief or the Sholeach Boyad, the Shomer that acted as a thief, pays in terms of market decrease or increase in value, which would have been a lotion of zoil is cheapening, lowering in market value, the yoiker more expensive. It doesn't say that. It says choser, or yeser. Choser indicates a type of physical diminishing, and yeser, some type of physical increase, as we just explained, an increase in wool growth, an increase in impregnation. That's the lashon you see in the Mishnah. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Kishas Hoitzah. And Beis Hillel says that payment is made in accordance with the value at the time that it left the owner's house. So that at the time it left the owner's house, these forms of increase weren't there yet. So the thief doesn't have to compensate for that. The thief, when we speak about thief, of course, we're speaking about the shomer that acted as a thief. Shma mino. So this analysis is conclusive. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Kish'as HaTviyo. We saw in the Mishnah the third opinion of how does a shomer shesholach bo yad pay. Rabbi Akiva says, in accordance with the value at the time of the court claim. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Yehuda, quoting Shmuel, says, we rule like Rabbi Akiva. Umoide Rabbi Akiva b'mokim shiyesh edim. Rabbi Akiva concedes that if there are witnesses that can testify how much it was worth at the time of the theft. Rashi across from here says, Umoide Rabbi Akiva b'mokim shiyesh edim kamo yisheshova b'yoyim shegozla. That then the payment will be made in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. And when we speak about a shomer shesholach bo yad, at the time that he starts to use it for his own purposes, we would say that's the time of the theft. The Gemara continues, my taima. The Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, La'asher hu loy yitnenu b'yoyim ashmosoi. And Rashi, in explaining my taimo de Rabbi Kiva, what is the basis of Rabbi Kiva that said, B'shas hatviya, the Omar Kro, Rashi continues, B'yoyim ashmoso, b'domim shel oisayoyim shumischayev lo. The value of the item on the day that he, the thief, becomes obligated. V'hechod etavoy, v'hoide da'alpiv hu mischayev, where the claim was made against him, tavo, v'hoide, and he conceded, and he admitted his wrongdoing. There, the guilt is based on his admission. His being summoned to the court and his confession is his yoim ashmoso. Aval yim yesh edim, if, however, there are witnesses, mishal shoru shegozlo hu oshem lo. From the point that they saw the theft, that's the point that guilt is established. So the Pasuk that was just cited in the Gemara when accounts for both aspects of Rabbi Kiva's point of view, where there's a court summons and the offender's confession, and the case of witnesses that testify. So that as we continue in the Gemara, v'kevon de'ika edim, and since there are witnesses that saw the theft, saw the misuse of the item, me'ahu shaita hu dechayev le ashmo. It's from that point that he becomes guilty, and hence this pasuk la'ashir hu lo yitneru b'yom ashmoso accounts for both scenarios. Omar le Rav Hoshaya l'Rav Yehuda, Rebbe, ata oimer kein. Do you say thusly? Now, Rav Hoshaya is addressing Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that Rabbi Akiva will be moide, will concede where there are witnesses. So Rav Hoshaya asks, Rabbi Yehuda, do you say thusly? Hachi omar Rav Asi, omar Rabbi Yochanan, choluk hoya Rabbi Akiva, afil b'mokom sheyesh edim. Rabbi Akiva disagrees, even in a case where there are witnesses. The value of the item is not going to be established from the point in time that they saw the theft, but rather from the tvia, from the court appearance, the court claim. My taima, and what's the reason for that? Yomakro lasher hu loy yitnenu biyoyim ashmosoy. Ubei dina hu dekom achayvi le ashma. The pasuk speaks about compensating on the day of establishment of his guilt. When is the establishment of guilt? That's in the court. And hence, it's the zman of the tviya, the kshas ha-tviya, that applies, even in a case where there happen to have been witnesses. Amale Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Abba Bar Popa, ki azlis lahosam, when you go there, that's to Eretz Yisrael, akif means go out of your way, Asuma de Tzur, and go by way of that location, Suma de Tzur, the oil legabe de Rav Yankiv Bar Idi, and go by him, in other words, go to him, go visit him, to Rav Yankiv Bar Idi, uboy mine, and ask of him, Ishmia le Rav Yochanan, did he hear from Rav Yochanan, who was Rav Yankiv Bar Idi's Rebbe, his teacher, halachic Rabbi Kiva, ain halachic Rabbi Kiva? Did you hear, Rav Yankiv Bar Idi hear from Rabbi Yochanan whether the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva or not? Omar lei, hochi omar Rabbi Yochanan. So he said, thusly says Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva le'oilom. The halacha follows Rabbi Akiva le'oilom. Well, my lo'olam, what do you mean by that? Lo'olam usually means forever or on all occasions. What do you mean by that? Omar Ravashi Shalotoimar, that you should not think, Hani Mili, when does Yoim Hatavia apply as the standard for establishing amount to be paid? Don't say Hecha Deleko Edim Aval Hecha Deiko Edim Lo, but where there are witnesses that saw the theft, then we would not go according to the Yoim HaTviya. So what does the Ola mean? That we always follow the Yoim HaTviya, and it's not qualified by a situation where there are no witnesses. But even where there are witnesses that saw they saw the item and could tell us its value, how much it was at the time of the initial theft, we still don't base ourselves on that. V'i nami, another explanation of what was meant by the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva le'olam, the ahadra leduchta v'isparav. After the shomer was sholach boyad, after he used it for his own purposes, he then put it back from where he had taken it, and then it broke. It broke ba'oynis. We're saying that that shomer that was shalach boyan will have to pay. La'afuke mid Rabbi Shmuel, to the exclusion of Rabbi Shmuel's approach, diomar lo bo'ino das bailim. Rabbi Shmuel says that a shomer who had taken an item and used it for his own purposes and returned it, he regains his shomer status and would not be obligated if some type of ones arises. Komashmolon de bo'inon das bailim. So what halacha Rabbi Akiva the Olam tells me is that in order for him to regain his shomer status, the original owner would have to have been informed of the item's return, the item's restoration to its location. And if not, even though it breaks ba'oines, the shomer will be obligated. V'rova omar halacha kebeis hillel. That payment is made in accordance with the value at the time of the theft. And as we saw earlier, when it comes to a shomer and sholeach boyad, the personal use of the item that he was entrusted with would be considered the point of theft. Before we continue in to the next Mishnah, we glance in the margin where we have a topic heading, HaChoshev L'Shloach Yad B'Kodo. One who thinks. Tosfos points out that when we use the term Choshev in this context, it is a matter of speech, of articulating your plans, your intent to use the item. Machlokes, Beishamai, Beisa, we'll see a disagreement between them regarding that scenario. So now the Mishnah, HaChoshev L'Shloach Yad B'Pikodo, one who articulates his intent to use an item, and Rashi says that he says so in front of witnesses. I'm going to take so and so's item for my own purposes. So and now at that point, after he expresses his intent, an onus arises, destroying the item. Beis Shammai Omrim Chayav. Beis Shammai says he has to make compensation, make restitution for the loss of the item. Beis Hillel Omrim Eino Chayav. He's not obligated by the mere expression of intent. Ad sheyishlach bo yad, until he actually uses it. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Im lo yishalach yodo b'mleches re'ehu." The shomer has to swear that he didn't use it in order to have the benefits of exemption that a shomer benefits from. So, what do we see from the pasuk? That the shomer would lose his benefits only if he actually uses it. At this point, we note Rashi says that this is a milsabat b'inafsha, that which will follow is a new point. Hita es hechovis v'notal heimena revias v'nishbura. If a shomer tilted a barrel of wine that he was entrusted with, and he extracted from the barrel of wine a revias, a liquid measure, we could say a cupful of wine, and then after a while the barrel broke. The shomer who withdrew a cup of wine from the entrusted barrel pays for the value of the one cup. Rashi points out three lines from the bottom. Eino mishalem el revias deshlichus yad eino mischayev boinsin ad sheyimshoch yagbia davi kniya. Shlichus yad does not obligate the shomer, doesn't strip him of his shomer status unless he draws the item or he raises the item. In this case, the barrel was simply tilted. That doesn't constitute drawing nor picking off the ground. The Mishnah continues. Higbiyah v'notal himen revias v'nishbara. If he raised the barrel and then withdrew the cup of wine, he is chayev. And when the barrel breaks, mishan de'ikui, has to pay for the entire value. We continue at the top of Daf Mem Dalid. Mino Hani Mili. What is the source for what we saw in the Mishnah? We saw Beis Shammai holding that even the mere expression of intent to use an entrusted item obligates the shomer to full responsibility. Where do we learn that from? The Tonu Rabbonon. Al Kol Devar Pesha. The Pasuk says in Shmos Perichov Beis, in this context of entrusted items, Beis Shammai Omer Milamed Shechayev Al Hamachshava Kemaise, that one becomes obligated through mere intent as if it were an action. Ubeis Hillel Omer Eino Chayev Ad Sheyishlach Bo Yad. Beis Hillel disagrees and says that he is not obligated until he actually uses the entrusted item. Shenemar im lo sholach yodoi b'mleches re'ehu. The pasuk indicates the actual use of the item. Omru lohen Beis Shammai leBeis Hillel. So Beis Shammai, who was, say, more strict on the Shomer addresses Beis Hillel and says, Valokvar Nehmar, does it not already say, I'll call Devar Pesha? Devar is dashed underline, indicating the emphasis on that word. What's Devar? Dibor, expression of intent, not actual use. And that's enough to obligate the Shomer in the fullest extent. Omar Lohen Beis Hillel Levei Shammai Valo Kvar Ne'amar Im Lo Sholach Yodo B'Mleches Re'ehu. On the other hand, Beis Hillel says the Pasuk indicates what we said, that obligation is not achieved or is not reached unless he actually uses it. Im Kein Ma Talmud Lomar Al Kol Dvar Pesha. Well, according to Beis Hillel, then what does Dvar Pesha mean? It means as follows: Shiochel. I would have thought Ein Li Ela Hu, that the violation of Shlichus Yad is only if the Shomer himself, the actual hired Bailey, does that. What if the Shomer would instruct his servant or his agent to use it? From where do we know that their use will obligate the Shomer? Talmud Lomar, I'll call Devar Pesha. The Pasuk is inclusive to include even the agent of the Shomer using it, reflects back upon the Shomer himself to become Chayev even for Oinsen. Hito Esachovis V'chulei. Omar Rabo Lo Shonu Elo Nishbaro. We mentioned in the Mishnah that he tilted the Chovis and withdrew a revius. He didn't pick it up. So the eventual cracking of the barrel does not obligate the Shomer, because the Shomer didn't do a hagbah. He didn't actually pick it up. That's true. In other words, the exemption of the Shomer applies only where the destruction of the barrel was through nishbra, through breaking. Aval hichmitza, if, however, the barrel remained intact with its wine content, however, it soured, mishalem es kula, that shomer, after withdrawing the revius of wine, will have to pay for the entire loss in value. My taima, why? He didn't pick up the barrel. He didn't do the hagbah or the meshicha that we referred to earlier. The answer is giri didei hu dahanu lo. Now, literally translated, means it's his own arrows that had the effect on ruining the wine. Now, that's of course just an analogy. What actually happened? Well, when he withdrew the revius of wine, he created an air pocket in the barrel, and because of that, the rest of the wine soured. Rashi says, "Aval hichmitza pshia hi." That is an act of negligence. Umazik biyadayim hu. That's considered proactive ruination. The bishvil shechisra, because of the diminishing in wine content of the barrel, hichmitza, it's soured. Shekein derech yayin lachmitz b'kli chaser, it's the way of wine to sour in a vessel that's not complete, not filled to the top. It's chaser. It's mentioned before, the air pocket, meaning there was a diminished wine quantity, content, which is what caused the souring. So the Shomer's withdrawal of a revius directly caused the souring, and therefore the distinction made by Rabo between the barrel breaking through ones versus the wine content souring. Higvia v'notal himena v'chulei. Omar Shmuel lo notal mamish. When the Mishnah speaks about the Shomer's complete obligation when he raises the barrel and withdraws a revius, so Shmuel says the mention of withdrawal doesn't mean withdrawal literally. since he picked up the barrel with the intent to withdraw some wine, af al pi shelo notal, even if he did not actually extract, he becomes obligated. Should we conclude from here that Shmuel's opinion is that in general, for one to be obligated for the violation of Shlichus Yad, there isn't a necessity of having the entrusted item diminished in quantity or diminished at all? So the Gemara says, Amri lo, no, we're not going to conclude that Shmuel's position is that Shlichus Yad ain't not Shlichus Chisaron. It might be that in general, Shlichus Yad, according to Shmuel, does entail that stage as well. Namely, not only the use of it, but there's also a diminishing in quantity. Shaini hocha. Here, however, it's different. Why here is it? What do we mean? That here, the extraction of the wine is a critical issue, factor. The nichole, the teve, I should say, let me repeat that. I said something erroneous. Shmuel says that you don't need to have the actual extraction, whereas in general it might be that Shlichus Yad requires actual diminution, subtraction, loss. Not so over here. The nichole de teve ha chavis kula bosis laha revius. The shomer picked up the barrel with the intent of withdrawing a revius. In our mind's eye, what happened here is that he withdrew it, but put it back. Of course, all of this is in our mind's eye. Why does he want the revius that he intends to take to remain in the barrel? Because it's a more convenient storage place for the revius than to have it actually removed and poured into a cup and then put into some other storage area. This is explained in Rashi, which we'll learn together on the third narrow line. The nichole de teve kula chavas bosses lahai revius. He wants the entire barrel to be the entire barrel of wine to be the basis to support, so to speak, his revius that's on top. His revius means the revius that he extracts, that he wants to extract for himself. Shetishomer ois revius, that will enable the revius to be watched better, velo tachmitz, and not go sour. So that it's in his interest that the revius stays in the barrel. But Shlichus Yad in general, if it were some other item, is not violated unless there is actual chisoran involved. And the result of this would be that one who received an entrusted article picked it up with the intent of using it for personal purposes, calls manshala chasroi, as long as it hasn't been diminished, eino mischayev bagboso. The picking up does not create the obligation of, let's say, of the shoel level obligation, where chayev for oinus, or the gezel level of obligation, where you're chayev as a thief. Hayev alo notloi, almanas ligzol es kulo. The picking up does not result in your being fully obligated, because you didn't pick it up with the intent of stealing the whole thing. Elo lishlach bo yad. Your intent was to use it for yourself. That, namely, to withdraw a revius for yourself. Shlichus yad below chisoron. Let's say, shlichus yad in general, if there isn't any diminishing of it, it's not called shlichus yad. It doesn't, it's, let's say, means it doesn't exist. That's not called shlichus yad. Avol yayin, but in our case, she'eino mishtamel b'kli mole, it's not preserved other than in a full vessel. Have le, the case here, the one case that Shmuel was addressing, k'mishen notal, it's as if, in your mind's eye, he withdrew the revius, v'nichay im hashar, and then put it back to be preserved with the rest of the wine, lishtamer, to be preserved. Vinasa Shoyel al Kol Sharachovas, and as a result of his interest in the revius that he wants to withdraw, being preserved by being on top of the rest of the wine. So the rest of the wine is in his service. And, oh, as a result of that, the shomer becomes like a shoyel to be chayev in oinsin on all of the rest of the barrel contents. We turn back to the Gemara. Boy Rav Ashi. Higbia Arniki, litol heimeno diner mahu. A person, let us say, was entrusted with a pouch of money, and he picked up the pouch of money with the intent of taking a coin from the pouch for himself. Mahu. How do we evaluate that? Of course, this question is raised on the heels of the din of Shmuel regarding the barrel of wine. Chamra hu delo mintar, elo agav chamra. It could be that only in the case of wine do we say that we view it as if it was withdrawn and then put back, because wine cannot be preserved unless it's with other wine. As we described earlier, it's preserved by being part of a full barrel of wine. So that the idea of the wine that you didn't physically withdraw, but we view it as if it was withdrawn and put back, is a halacha that would be unique to wine. Aval zuza mintar, but coins, they don't need to be in the pouch to be preserved. Rashi says aval zuza mintar levado, a coin is preserved by itself. Alo nicho le leve inoch basis lahai, and it's not as if Shomer / thief needs the rest of the pouch of coins to it's not needed to preserve the coin that he wants to take. And therefore we're not going to view the pouch and the coins as if he withdrew and put back. In other words, that element of putting back for the sake of preservation is not an essential element when it comes to the issue of preserving a coin. Or possibly shiny nitirusa darniki minitirusa the dinner. Rashi says shiny nitirusa darniki, which translates as the preservation, the guarding of a pouch of money, kis mole nira umishtamer. A full pouch is something that's visible and it's something that the shomer can easily keep his eye on. V'ein noyach lios nevad kedinar yichidi. And it doesn't get lost as easily as a singular coin. So according to that method of analysis, the coin would be parallel to the revius of wine. And hence, in picking up an arniki, according to this approach, with the intention of taking one dinar, you would be chayev for the entire arniki, the entire pouch of coins, even if you didn't actually withdraw the coin. Well, as far as what is the din with regard to the coin, Rav Ashi's question, the Gemara concludes with teku. It remains unresolved. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.